is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
Hello and welcome to Falkirk Daft. It's your unofficial Falkirk FC podcast. We are here to talk about Celtic versus Falkirk yesterday. And I'm joined by the ginger god of pod, Ross Wayne. What was number one the last time Falkirk beat Celtic away from home in the league?
So we're obviously going back to the 90s, mid-90s as well. Do you know, I'm going to stick with a genre I know well. Could it have been Oasis with Supersonic?
Oh, listen, you're kind of probably in the ballpark. It was actually Pato Banton, Baby Come Back, that he did with... Was it UB40? Come back.
Jesus, that's a horrible
Baby,
one.
Baby, come back. Yeah. That was number one the last time we beat Celtic away from it. And it continues that after the Bairns walked away from Glasgow with a tail between the legs. But probably quite an admirable display. We'll talk to that in a minute as we got beat off Celtic 2-1 yesterday. Ross, you were at the game. How are you? How was your weekend? How's it been?
Yeah, all right. It was. Do you know what? I've not feel as if I've had a busy weekend, football aside, to be honest. It's been quite a quiet one. And obviously, I went through in the Behind the Wall bus. There was a good number on the bus, considering there wasn't a huge away crowd, to be honest with you, John. So there was quite a few Bairns in the pub beforehand. Good banter, good chat. And, good drive through. And, listen, It was not the sorest of games. Like, we've been to Celtic and Rangers before, and it's been a bit of a tough afternoon, which probably makes us feel that little bit worse that, we could have maybe took something from the game. But I'm sure we'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into the game and stuff like that. But did an exciting thing today, Ross. Went through the tunnel at the Union Canal. You ever been through that? Spooky.
I have, yes. The one that takes you...
It's from the high station, aye.
I don't want to use the old name for it. But I take it as the very dark one. Is that the one you're talking about? Yes, right, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Siobhan, my wife, wanted to go. She'd never been in it, so we took the dog through that today. It's really cool, though. Like, it took, like, the reflection of the kind of ceiling on the water and stuff like that is really, really smart, actually.
It is cool, and because they have added a lot of lights, haven't they? Dark as it once was. You really need to be careful in your work tomorrow, though, because you need to be careful with it, because you can't say, oh yeah, I took my wife up the Falkirk Tunnel. It's just not going to wash.
I know, so it was good. So I'd highly recommend it. There you go, if the Falkirk Tourist Board are listening, as a highly recommended walk through the, so went up to Glen Village and then back round to the high station with the dogs.
We've done that walk before as well, and we extended the walk on to head up towards the milk barn.
Good, because we were great. What the original idea, because the weather, this is really boring chat, the weather was pretty bad, so we're great to walk to Pullman and get the train back to Falkirk High, but then we just went, nah, we'll just look back around ourselves, so that's fine. Quiet weekend. I've just had a mad week at work, so it's been quite nice, just have a quiet chilled weekend, so I've quite enjoyed that. But enough of my boring life chat, let's talk Falkirk Daft now. We've got prints to give away, Ross.
Yes, we do. Now, I'm going to apologise, because obviously I've put this pack together, John, and then I've left the prints in my car. Yeah. So I don't actually have a picture of the print. However, we can talk through it, and it's going to go up on our socials this week. So for those that that follow us on X and Facebook, you'll remember that we asked the question about iconic strips and which players would you think of. And those iconic strips. So that has been made now, and it's been shared by the club. It's been shared by a few different support society and stuff. So it is out there. But we have been given a print to give away in a competition, and that's exactly what we're going to do, John. So this week,
can I just double check that you've been sent three prints? Because I was trying to blag one.
There is three. And we will give away one.
I've got a picture of it here. You got one. Yeah, if you're watching the YouTube version, you can probably see it here. Yeah. It's got all the legendary strips with all the players on it. So you've got everyone from Brad Spencer, Steve McGinn, Lyle Taylor's on there. Wow, Ryan Flynn, Scotty Arfield, obviously, Colin Samuel, Owen Coyle, Russell, obviously, Richie Cadet. It's class. It really is class. Yeah, I love it.
That looks brilliant. Yeah. And So yeah, we'll do a like and share. Obviously tag in ourselves. The John, remind me of the name of the
Matthew
company.
J. Woods.
Matthew J. Wood, it went right in my head there. Falkirk Football Club as well. And do a like and we'll do a like and share comp. And this time next week we'll pick a winner.
Excellent. Excellent. I've got a couple of Matthews prints. I think there's a lot of Falkirk supporters do have the kind of Matthew prints. Really, really smart. I need to get them framed up on the wall because I've got the back-to-back Champions one and the Invincibles one. So this would be a really nice one for the collection as well. So yes, keep an eye on our socials for that. Falk Daft Live, there's now only four tickets. The last time we spoke to you, there was 11 tickets. There is now only four tickets available. So get on and get there. It'll be 11th of September with Darren Barr, Cole Donaldson, and maybe Brad Spencer. We'll get into that chat in a bit. But oh no, there's an update. There's only three tickets left. So
Woohoo!
there you go. So only three tickets left for that event at Behind the Wall, 11th of September. We're calling it the captain's table because it's obviously all captains of the club, really. Thanks for everyone that's bought a ticket, and thanks to everyone that's going to be heading along, see it behind the wall. But like I say, three tickets left. Unbelievable stuff. Thank you very much. Let's put a shout out to everyone that's joined up to the patrons as well. We've got a few new members. I'm just pulling up the new members that have joined in the last week. Well, shout out to Adam, Ian Waitman, Cody Strang, Alan McFarlane, and Owen W have all joined the Patreon in the last week. Well, G1876 as well. So if you want bonus content from the podcast, it's £3 a month. You'll get us at patreon.com/FalkirkDaft. We're putting together the Falkirk Ultimate Team currently, so the first podcast when we went through the goalkeepers, that is up there just now, and you'll get our pre-match and post-match updates on video form. It was Ross did it yesterday, and he's getting right into this influencer. He was like doing, "Come with me, come with me to Celtic Park." You know those videos that you get? He just said, "Come with me to Celtic Park."
I quite like doing it, and then I was playing about with the editing thing,
I know you're putting music on it and everything.
music, and there's I've now since I sent you this over, I've now seen there's sound effects as well, so I'll be making use of that next time too.
Wait, what program are you using to make this?
Just the one on the phone. It's like iMovie or something it's
Ah.
called, and it seems even the simplest of tech people, which I would put myself in that bracket, can do some stuff
Well,
with
it was
it.
very
So
good. So check Ross's update. I did a pre-match and post-match update from the Tom Lang Memorial Toilet as well. So, yeah,
you weren't
that's a pretty
shitting at the time, were
good.
you?
Patreon.com/FalkirkDaft. Quick dip into Birthday Corner before we head on. Happy silver anniversary. It's not just Birthday Corner, this is more shout out corner. Happy silver anniversary to Fiona and Tam Brown. That's from Ali, Lisa, and Stevie.
That's the parents of Kai Brown.
Ah, so
Well.
it is. There you go.
Yeah.
Happy, there you go. Happy birthday, happy silver wedding anniversary, Fiona and Tam. How many years of silver? 20.
25, maybe.
20. Jesus God Almighty. I'm 17 now. 18? I'm 18 years old. Oh, God, I'm 18 years old.
I'm 20 this year.
Oh, are you? God Almighty.
Yeah.
There you go, man.
Yeah, 20 years.
How we've managed that, God knows.
I
Anyway,
think it's.
happy 18th birthday to Jay Morrison for next Saturday. That's 5th of September. I'm assuming this is not Jay Morris that played with us in the charity game last week, was it?
No, that was
No,
Jay
Jay
Morrison.
Morrison. Yeah, that was
This
Jay
is Jay
Morrison.
Morris.
It's
This
Jay
is Jay
Morris.
Morris.
So happy
Yes.
birthday 18th to Jay Morris. That's 5th September. That's love from Mum, Dad, Lisa and Stevie. Craig, Ryan, Nana and Granda. So happy 18th. Enjoy your first legal pint, Jay, I'm sure. You've never touched a pint before, so enjoy that.
Absolutely. Happy birthday as well to Logan Neary, who's going to be 11 on the 3rd of September, which I think is Wednesday or Thursday. And that's from all of your family and friends.
And also happy birthday.
Also, happy birthday. Oh.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm stealing your thunder there, John.
Go, go, go.
Happy birthday to Alison Ballantyne, who's also actually, we don't know her age, but on the 2nd of September, and that's from your husband Ian. And we've got some dogs here, John. We've
Yes.
got Holly
Come on.
and Lulu.
Mon the dogs. Mon the dogs. Holly and Lulu. Good dog names, those. Holly and Lulu. I do like when people do call their dogs like Kevin or Barry or something. I always quite like that.
Yeah.
So you've got Barney. So Barney's quite a dog name, isn't it?
I would say Barney's a dog name,
Yeah, I'd
obviously.
love to say he was named after the striker, but he wasn't. But yeah, it's a good dog. It's good solid dog names, Holiday and Lulu, like that. Couple of ex-Bairns celebrating their birthdays as well. Reece Bennett, remember Reece Bennett? Was it on loan from, was it Arsenal? Was it Arsenal?
No, I can't
Was
remember
it
if it was Arsenal
Bolton?
or not, but he was a really good centre half. I actually thought he was signed. I can't remember him being on loan, but he was a really good centre half. I think he's still kicking a ball a bit as well, down south, obviously. But yeah, no, I liked Reece. That would have been the season Farid was knocking the goals in.
On the second, Reece is on the first, on the second, Michael Higden. Just had an absolute really good, like, was really good for us, obviously. Scored the goal that's kept us up against Inverness. Was it that was Higden, wasn't it? Yeah.
The game up there, I think it was actually, so yeah, and listen, some big goals,
Yeah.
big player, went on to have a good career, obviously.
One of the few people
Did he
out
not
west
get
to
like
loan from at
was he
one
not
point.
nominated, or he did
He
get
won
like
one point of the year.
golden boot of the year, for when he was at Motherwell, I think, as well.
Yeah, one point of the year there. Jack Compton. Jack can be kicking a ball surely now, but he's 38. And Petrovicius. Who's Petrovicius at now? Is it Ross County or something like that? Or Airdrie? I think it's maybe Airdrie.
Is he? Is he still in the UK? I'd
Don't
assumed
know.
he had buggered off to
Maybe not.
back
Ryan
to
Flynn is
Ukraine.
turning 38 on the fourth. Still, I think he's still playing with Arbroath now. And Jamie
Yep.
Senn obviously hardly kicked a ball for us, but he's at Airdrie now, and he's going to be 29 on the sixth.
Happy birthday from the Falkirk physio.
Brilliant. Right, let's talk about sponsorship and thanks, of course, to Behind the Wall and their continued support of this podcast. Stay local, eat and drink global. Bobby is talking about potentially tying in the Falkirk Daft Venom and a discount with the coach, by the way. Heads up on that. We're details still to be confirmed. But at the moment, yeah, you can still get the Coors coach, and that runs from the pub down to the ground. It's £5, and then back, and then you get your free pint at the end of that as well. So that's against Rangers, obviously, this Wednesday. Remember that. So get into the pub, get your tickets there, and get down to the ground, back up to the pub afterwards, and celebrate a victory. But yeah, you'll get that this Wednesday from the pub, and loads of stuff coming up at the pub as well. Barbara Briceland is in there next weekend, an afternoon with Babs, lots of champagne, of course. Falkirk Daft's there, only three tickets left on the 11th of September. Girls Day Out with Falkirk influencer Dionne Hickey, she's going to be there on the 10th of October. Viva Morrissey, it's probably one I'm going to go to hear a Morrissey support act doing Morrissey and Smiths, because I love that. And an absolute Weller, Paul Weller tributes on there on the 24th of October. Favourite Paul Weller song, Ross Wayne.
Oh mate, oh, genuinely, I'd struggle to pick one.
Brilliant.
Do you know what it reminds me of? So see when you were at uni. Now, granted, like late 90s, early noughties, Paul Weller had already been about for a while, but just I remember being in the student union and like Paul Weller would just be on constantly, like Broken Stones and etc. Do you know?
Oh.
I would just all. Constantly all on Wildwood probably as well.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. That was yeah, Paul Weller. I'm quite impressed. Broken
Well,
Stones. Was that not for the, like, the Sky not use Broken Stones for the Premiership coverage? I'm sure they did.
did they?
I'm sure they
Can't
did. It's
remember.
at one point. I'm sure they did.
I also remember I had a bit of a wacky phase as well though. Do you remember it was a and I don't know why I remember the name of the song, but he had a right shite song called Peacock Soot.
Oh,
And it was like
yeah.
so
Off
annoying, but
episode.
it did obviously well, because it was Paul Weller in it. So
I've seen him a couple of times. Really, really good. But then, yeah, so absolute Wellers on there, 24th of October. For all the information, what's going on at Behind the Wall, check out behindthewall.co.uk. Right, okay, club news. Let's talk about the Brad Spencer situation, shall we? By the way, getting back to, we've not heard back from the foundation or the club on this continued debate. No one's been in touch with us to give us the insight into it. So the invitation is still open to both club and the foundation to come on the podcast, explain the situation. We'd love to hear on that. I actually bumped into Jamie Swinney in the pub on Friday. I was in Glasgow in Waxhill Corners and with my work, and Jamie was there as well. So I had a wee gab with Jamie. I said, "Are you listening to this week's podcast, by the way?" He said, "No, not yet." I went, "All right, okay." I'll leave it there. But yeah, if you want to, if any club or the foundation want to get in touch with us, explain the situation. The people have to know. But let's talk about the Brad Spencer situation. That's been the big kickoff this week, Ross.
Yep.
Like we were on our group chat, like we were chatting about, obviously there's now been three bids from Dundee United. I believe there was a fourth went on. John McGlynn addressed it in his press conference prior to the Celtic match, saying it was embarrassing. The fact he said he knew the guy who put the bids in, and I was like, that must be embarrassing for him, which is unusual because the Dundee Courier were quoting £450,000, which is not an embarrassing. You wouldn't think that's an embarrassing amount. So it must there must be he must have the there's somewhere along the lines there's been a mix-up because that's not an embarrassing amount to offer 500,
Well,
450,000.
I suppose it depends on the valuation that we're placed on. So if it's £1 million, then it's nowhere near. I'm not saying it is £1 million, by the way,
No, I don't
just
think it'll be that.
off. But you wouldn't have said that level was embarrassing, but I suppose it will depend on his valuation. And if that valuation is in any way true. There was loads of rumours at the game yesterday, like loads of them.
What's the
People
crack?
just in terms of like you know what it's like, it's probably Chinese whispers with a lot of stuff, John, but just talking about the amount. So there was chat yesterday that the first bid was 75 grand, the second one was like 100 grand, and then the next one was like 125 grand, and then there was other people saying no, it was more, 300,000 400,000. So I don't know if we'll know. And let's face it, even if Brad was to be sold to Dundee United in the next 4 days, right, it'll be an undisclosed fee anyway,
Yeah.
so we'll probably never know. I don't want to lose Brad. That's
Nobody
my
wants to lose
that's
Brad, no.
that. No, we don't. So it'll be interesting to see. Dundee United do have money. They are about to sell two players that we know of. Will Ferry is expected to go for somewhere between 2.5 and 3 million pounds. And I've forgot the name
Savage,
of the other,
centre
Svevelder
midfielder, yeah.
or something like that. He's due to go for about 750,000. So they will have cash and a weekly wage or two free to go for Brad should they wish. But to do that, they are going to have to meet whatever valuation Falkirk have for him. For me, though, I'm not I just. I think it's so late in the window, John. I even if it was a large amount of cash, I just think for the squad, the team, he's a big personality in the club, and in the dressing room. On the flip side, you and I have met Brad. He's a lovely, lovely guy. We're hopeful. Hopefully, all being well, he'll be on stage with us at Falkirk Daft Live as well. You don't want to like see anyone's career not do well, right? So from that perspective as well. But selfishly, you want Brad to be a Falkirk player when we play Dundee United on Saturday. So it'll be an interesting few days. If I'm being honest, 5 o'clock Thursday is when the window slams shut. So will Wednesday be a thing where he doesn't play? I noticed Killian Phillips was missing from the St Mirren team today. There's rumours that he's going to be going on a big money
Aberdeen,
move.
yeah.
So you wonder between this weekend's game and Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesday's game, there's a full card on. Will we start to see players that are maybe going to be moving, not part of any deals? Likewise, we noticed there was a couple of Falkirk players not in the squad yesterday. Are they going on the outdoor?
Yeah,
So
interesting. I just noticed Conor Allan wasn't on the bench
Finny
yesterday.
Esther not in the bench either.
Was he picked up an injury? I don't know. I
I'm
don't
not
know. I
sure.
don't
Certainly
know.
wasn't he called out as an injury on Falkirk TV, but yeah, we'll just need to wait and see.
Yeah, but I mean, we've got that such a big squad now that that's still maybe happen. Yeah, I mean, the thing is with Brad, we know again he's clearly going to be a club legend. He's a linchpin to the side. He's one of the most. He's probably him and Henderson, two are probably the most important players we've got in the side. So you don't want to lose
Yeah.
him, But at the same time,
No.
Brad's, football's a short career, and if he's getting a bump in wages at United, like he's got to look at that. Now it's now up to the club and sort of saying, well, listen, if there's players that have come in, and I don't know if there is that have come in at a better wage than Brad Spencer, he's got to go to the club and go, hold on a minute, like why are they getting paid If I'm so important to this club, and we know he is, and you know, John McGlynn's talked, he's basically John McGlynn's love child. And see, he's in the right position. It's you would go to any business saying, hold on, like, I'm the top, I'm star employee here, I'm employee of the month, you know, yet this guy's just joined the company and he's getting paid more than me. Do you know what I mean? It's,
Yeah, and that's a real world problem. Like
yeah, of
if
course
the
it
same
is.
thing happened in your industry or my industry, you'd be looking at a conversation. And listen, that conversation may well have happened in the last few days, between the players or player, sorry, and John and Jamie. So maybe
Yeah.
that's why Jamie was drinking on Friday night.
I didn't, do you know what? I did ask. I did get, I was just chatting away to him. I didn't want to get into the business. But it's, yeah, I'll be interested to see what happens over the next few days. I mean, it'd be really, I mean, to lose Brad at this point, would be an absolute nightmare. Because we, then you're rushed, like trying to fill that space in the position in the squad. I mean, you've got Finn Yates, so you've got Connor Allen there, you know,
There
but
is play. Listen, it's a big squad, and
yeah.
John's already. Don't know if you heard his interview. I think it was Sky. He said there's at least one more player
Yeah,
due in
wild. 16
before Thursday
signings this
as
season.
well.
That's
So,
mental. Absolutely
indeed,
mental.
yeah.
So yeah, we'll wait and
But do you know what's
see.
better than 16? 17.
Jesus. We'll wait with bated breath. We'll wait with bated breath and see what happens in the next week or so. Congratulations to the Falkirk women. They got the first win. So that's two draws and a win to start off season, beating Livingston 2-0
Super.
today, which was a brilliant, brilliant result for the girls. So the girls are off to an absolute fire this season, Ross.
They really are. I am so chuffed for them. I know there's been a change in the squad there as well,
Yeah.
from last year. But great to see. I really am. I'm so chuffed for them. Hopefully, they're getting some good numbers in at the stadium as well. I'm just genuinely delighted, and obviously they got their first win today, and it's even extra special when it's Livingston. I know I don't hold any beef with their women's team, but we hate Livingston anyway, don't we? So that's never a bad thing.
Emma Lawson and Liv Murphy with the goals for the Falkirk women. So brilliant. Off first one and still remaining unbeaten. So well done to the girls today. I'm not too sure who they've got next, actually. I'll double check that by the end of the podcast and I'll let you know who's next on fixtures for that. So well done. And season tickets still on sale for the Falkirk women as well. £40 for an adult, £10 for concessions, and under 12s go free. So get yourself along to the stadium on a Sunday to check out the girls. Right, let's talk about the men now though, and let's talk about that game at Celtic Park yesterday. And we're going to do it in the company of a man that's been on the podcast before. It's Andrew Welsh.
Thank
Good
you.
evening, sir. Be good.
Hi.
How What's been happening? You were at the game yesterday, Andrew. We were just talking about earlier. I wasn't at the game. I managed to catch it all, though. We'll talk about that in a minute. But how you found this season so far?
It's difficult. It's going to be challenging. But I think once the new players bed in, I think if we can get to the October break, because you see, we never had a game for 2 weeks. And you can see the fruits of the obviously the training and the friendlies. And so hopefully by the October break, we've got a couple of mere points in the bag. And then we've got 3 weeks to the new signings to start getting mere into John McGlynn's way and getting
Yeah.
worked out.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, it's been a, I mean, it's been a tough start. A run of fixtures are really tough, as you know. That's why I thought St Mirren. I think that's why everyone's kind of come away going, we really should have beat St Mirren because this run of fixtures is really tough. But we'll talk about the Celtic game yesterday, shall we, gents? And it was an unchanged back four and goalkeepers. We thought it would be in the preview podcast, and actually, so I didn't. I thought there'd be more changes than I did. Ethan Ross retained his place. Obviously, Brad Spencer came back into the side. We talked about Finn Yeats not being there yesterday, Ross. We don't know if that was an injury or not, but it seemed very strange for him to go from being in the starting 11 to just being bombed out altogether.
Yeah, just completely out of the squad. So we don't know if that's due to an injury, as you said, John, or is it just the fact that the squad is obviously so large now and John has been adding quality into the squad. So he has maybe just found himself out of the like pretty far down the pecking order. We'll soon hear, I'm sure. But he wasn't mentioned by John McGlynn on Friday night as having picked up a knock. I think the only injuries he talked around was Gardner still, Sybald, and obviously the longer term ones and Nizzy and
Laidlaw.
Keelan and Laidlaw, sorry, as well. So yeah, he wasn't kind of bracketed as injured, so be interesting to hear and see soon whether he's going to be part of the squad or not, or is he getting lined up for a loan move? Maybe that's something that
Who
could be
knows?
happening as well.
Who knows? Aidan Doherty got replaced, of course, by our new American signing, CJ Fodry. Andrew, what did you make of CJ?
He looked as though he wants to get on the ball. He wants to go forward with the ball, which is a good sign, eh? But obviously, your first game at Parkhead is a daunting task, and the park's quite wide, and he knackered in the second half, like most of the players did, but they put a good shift in yesterday.
Big lad, Ross.
Yes, listen, I like the look of him. He's got something about him, not just in terms of his stature, because he is, as Andy says, he's a big lad, and he's got like proper broad shoulders. He looks like a baller. But he put a shift in yesterday, as Andy said as well. You did see he notably tired. But listen, he only joined the club, what was it, Monday or Tuesday? He's probably had a couple of training sessions, getting over the jet lag as
He
well.
referenced that in his pre-match interview. He was
Yeah,
struggling with the jet lag, didn't he? But
he noticed that as well. So, I like Andy said, I think give these guys a bit of time, and they'll make a difference. But I was really chuffed with him yesterday when we were coming back on the behind the wall bus. We were talking about who kind of shone more than others, and CJ was certainly one that most people said he got a good pass mark.
however, it wasn't a great start for the team, and we talked about the importance of that first goal on the preview podcast, Ross. And like the longer we can keep Celtic out, the more frustrated the fans will get, especially after the European exit. And yet, after 5 minutes, we're 1-0 down, and Scott Bain will look back at that and go, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, and it was annoying because, like Andy will tell you as well, John, the atmosphere at Celtic Park, it wasn't as loud as it would normally be. I don't mean from a Falkirk perspective. I mean as in like the home crowd was numbers were fine, but they were subdued, they were quiet. So I think had we been able to give them sort of 15-20 minute scare, I think the boos would have came. We certainly heard that in the second half when we did eventually score. It was a tense atmosphere in the stadium, and it is a shame that we didn't capitalize more on that. And we started so brightly, like we forced a couple of corners really early on. Ethan Ross looked lively on the wing for those early moments as well. But then, as you said, a bit of a moment of madness really from Scotty Bain.
Yeah, I saw a lot of Rangers supporters going, "Oh, he's thrown one, he's match fixing last." I'm like, "No, he's just had a moment of
He's
absolute
had a moment.
madness." You
Yeah.
said, yeah. But I have to say, Andrew, he did produce some brilliant saves and, kept us in the match after that point.
He had about four or five good saves, and him and that Nygren was saying a competition, because if you look at Macy's saves, they were off air at Nygren, and he caused us bother last year. He's quite lucky he gets in the right positions, eh, Nygren? Mind he scored at the
Yeah.
stadium there. And but I know Scott Bain, see, obviously he made the mistake, but for the saves, he'll cover himself during the season, which is me, and hopefully I'll get a call up for Scotland in October.
Yeah, there was a couple of really good ones, Ross. The one down to his low to his right, and then the one when Nygren, he was basically 1-1, just got a foot to it and it went over the bar as well. So, I mean, Scott looked back at it and he'll feel, why you'll go to himself, "Why didn't I just empty that out the park?"
Or let it run past him,
Yeah.
and go out for a goal kick. That was the other option.
Yeah.
He could have shielded it out, but yeah, listen, he deserves massive credit for what he's done before, and also what he did after the mistake as well. I felt bad for him. He obviously has gone back to his old club as well. He'll have wanted to put on a good performance, and that just didn't help him or us, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But we did try and compose ourselves thereafter. There wasn't a lot in it. for another 20-25
We
minutes.
t
They
we
have
played
to.
some nice stuff. We were
We
knocking
did.
about pretty impressively, like some like from defence and just moving the ball about really, really well. Really brave, really confident on the ball. But like the second goal, obviously, you think when you're 1-0 down that quick in a match against Celtic at Parkhead, you're going, oh Jesus, could be a long afternoon. We've all been there. Remember the 8-1 game in the League Cup? Jesus Christ, that gives me players like nam that one. But like 2-0, you know, and again, we just didn't cover ourselves in glory with that goal. Like Ethan Ross or Ryan Restrain really should be stopping that ball coming in from Tierney, and Hendo just switching off and letting Duran get in front of him. Very un-Liam Henderson like. I was like, if that had been Lewis Nielsen would have got it really tight from everyone. But that was pretty. I mean,
It was an
that's to
awful. It was
schoolboy
not.
defending that a wee bit, like to let a man. Now listen, Duran's very good. God, he's very impressive. You know that change of pace that he just went like that, boom, change of pace in his front of Hendo. But yeah, it was a wee bit schoolboy. Just I know it was an easy goal for Celtic as well.
He was like that Duran boy. He was hungry like a wolf. He really
Brilliant,
was. Sorry,
brilliant.
guy. But no, do you know what annoyed me? Sorry, that aside. Do you know what annoyed me yesterday? Is he had far too much room. And also the other lad got so much room down the other wing as well. Hassan, I think it was. And yeah,
He gave McCann a torrid time, that boy
and
Hassan.
you know how fast Leon is, right? That guy was like rapid. But I think defensively for the second goal, it was a tough one because you're right, we didn't close him down well enough. Hendo just Yeah, he let the guy get in front of him, and as soon as that happens, there's only going to be one outcome. What was frustrating though is we had a fantastic chance just before they scored.
Was that
That was the
Barbrooks?
Barbrook's low drive for he had a couple of chances in the first half, but that first one, I think he maybe had a bit more time and space than he realised. And it was a good shot, it was, but it was obviously wide of the post. And you just think if that goes in, the crowd start to turn a little bit, and they take confidence for going 2-0 up, and it's a different game then.
Let's talk about Finlay Barbrooks since you mentioned them there. Andrew, I don't know what you felt about him. I was impressed with him at Motherwell. I was more impressed with him against Celtic yesterday.
I think he's a big, strong laddie, and he's that player. Like when I probably was first on the podcast, remember when John McGlynn used to play Liam Henderson in the middle of the park for the, and he kind of looks like Liam Henderson. He kind of similar. He looks like the hairstyle and that. But no, I think he likes to get beyond the front, the strikers, and he can play the box to box. And I mean, as Ross said earlier, he had two chances in the first half, and he'll really, I think he'll complement Brad in the middle of the park. I think the two of them could strike up a good partnership.
I thought he had a good game yesterday, and but we did talk about this during the game, or it might have been at half time. I think he is better on the ball than he was off it yesterday. Like Motherwell, he seemed to just be like here, then everywhere, and he was really at it. Yesterday, he looked a little bit lost when he didn't have the ball. And it's not to say he had a bad game, far from it. But I just thought, Andy mentioned it as well, John. At Celtic Park, 60,000 people there. You need to bear in mind this lad's probably never played in a crowd anywhere near that size. But he did put a really good shift in. But yeah, probably when he was on the ball, I like him. I love him, in fact. He's got some really nice wee touches and he knows what he's doing. He lifts his head up as well. But like, what a start for him from between the Motherwell game and yesterday as well.
He was very, very impressive, I thought. Ben Parkinson chance that, you know, we got in at half time, we circled the wagons, we came out a different team. Oh, it was a great touch from Parkinson from that ball, and
Yes.
then just if he just wrapped his foot again, I mean, it brings it back to 2-1 a bit quicker than it did, but I was like, oh my God, if he just touched that and fired it in the net, what a goal it would have been. But what you've been up, you know, it's kind of Parkinson's a bit hit and miss. What did you make his performance yesterday, Ross?
That chance aside, I didn't think he had a brilliant game, to be
He
honest.
was
But
wasn't he really involved, was it? I mean, I don't know, Andrew,
no.
if it was because he got was there wasn't the, you know, the service into him or what, but he was very quiet, I thought.
He's this season you could probably have the best striker in the world up front. The strikers have kind of fed off scraps, eh? But hopefully with the two new boys coming, the American boy, CJ, and Connor, the boy for Wolves. Hopefully, we'll start to get the delivery into the box, and the boy that's going to be the number nine, whether it's Ross McKeever, Jacob, or Ben, they maybe get more chances to...
That's a really good point, though, Andy. We see in the second half, we went forward more as a team as well. So I'm saying that moment was Ben's, Parkinson's best moment, but he didn't get as good a support as Jacob probably did. When we changed the dynamics, when we changed the players, we were attacking more. So that's probably a shout to Ben. He did have the harder of the two halves probably in that respect, but it was a brilliant chance. He took it down so well. Yeah. He really did.
Let's talk about Jacob Morelli. It was not long after that Jacob made his Falkirk debut. America! Fuck yeah! And then he came off the bench, and him and, again, another one making their debut, the Highlander himself, Connor McLeod, combining for our goal in the 72nd minute. And then we've got 15, 20 minutes to try and get something. What did you make of the two debutants, Roscoe?
I like the look of the pair of them. Firstly, Jacob, as I say, I thought he led the line really well. He probably was helped by the fact that we were a little bit more attack-minded in the second half. But I like the look of him. He's another tall lad. He puts himself about. He was making some really intelligent runs. Really unlucky with obviously, we know it's been credited as an OG, but unlucky with his shot. And when you do see the follow-up, even had the boy not put it in his own net, Jacob was ready just to poke it in. So it was going to go in anyway. Connor, I thought he was really lively, really quick. I like his build.
Got the Kyrie Wilsons about him, isn't it?
He's got the Kyrie Wilsons about him as well. The whole, see, when you watch the goal back, though, there was 9 or 10 passes. Starts for the back.
Aye.
Bainey starts it. It was a tremendous... And it didn't get the credit it probably deserved. Well, when I watched the BBC highlights last night, you know what it's like when you're playing Rangers and Celtic? They spend more time talking about the other team. But I didn't think our goal got enough credit for the movement.
From the start, it didn't really show it from the start. Like, it was really, really well. Actually, there's something that I want to bring up, which from the first half, which didn't get highlighted at all, is Cameron Carton-Vickers' handball.
Yeah, so
that was just, like, I was watching the commentary, he didn't really mention it there was no VAR check on it, he just tapped his chest to say it hit my chest. You watch it back on the telly, it looks like a blatant handball.
It really did, and I was shocked at the game that it didn't go to a VAR. Listen, they do check it, so it probably was checked in the background, but the fact that they never even asked the ref to go and have a look at it was a little bit odd. But it looked a real, and that, yeah, because that was from CJ's header down, wasn't it? Carter Vickers kind of looked as if he'd handled it, and that again, that's we get small game changing moments that just didn't happen for us.
Yeah. What did you make of the Carter Vickers handball situation, Andrew?
I mean, I totally agree with Ross. It was if it was Celtic, if it was Liam Henderson handballing it, it'd have been straight for a penalty. Yeah. But the referee, for me, the referee was obviously you never get any decisions against all firm. But there was one decision, the new Celtic boy, the German boy, he wiped, I can't mind who it was, right out. And Falkirk got he played the game as due, he played the advantage, and I think we got a corner out of it. But he never even looked at it. Or we got four boys booked yesterday. And he was quick to brandish a yellow card. And then later on, at the end, you would be thinking, well, 5-6 minutes injury time for the subs. And Celtic a few times with the throw-ins. I thought it was the new rule, 5 seconds. It took more than 5 seconds to put the ball in the kind of parquet. So, and then the referee only had on its own. And then obviously, he cut it short at the end.
Aye, I mean, that... We'll get into that. Quite a question that. Thought it was a bit strange that the strangest substitute was Dennis Melnick's coming on for Ben Crowhouse. We've not mentioned Ben Crowhouse, might as well mention him here. Again, a bit like Parkinson was quiet and not really involved in the game much, but he kind of buzzed about a bit.
Yeah, he was in a position, John, really probably didn't see enough of the ball. I think it's probably not the game that you're going to judge him on. He obviously had a very good second half against Motherwell, so I completely get why he was in the starting 11. He probably will see a lot more of the ball, such as on Wednesday at home to Rangers. He's got some other bit on again though. Like he's got a bit of dig for a. He's not the biggest of lads, and but he does have a bit of dig about him. I do question the fact that he chose to wear long sleeves on a day like yesterday. But that aside, do you know? See, at the time though, John, you're saying it was a weird sub. Hendo had made the sort of substitution gesture to
Right.
the bench. Now we all thought it was for Hendo, so when we saw Melnick's getting stripped, you're thinking, oh well, he's going to go at centre half, and then Ben Crowhouse goes off. So I don't know what's been said there, or whether Hendo's changed his mind, he was fine to continue. It was a little bit odd, but yeah, it was a Melnick's came on, he kind of put himself about as well, big laddie. We didn't really get a chance to have a long throw in at the box, unfortunately. That would have been useful at some point. But the after the goal, I was a little bit disappointed in us
Yeah.
because I thought we could have had a right goal, a more of a goal
Yeah.
against Celtic, because the crowd had turned, Andy, hadn't they? There was a really quiet spell, and it wasn't until the injury time board went up that the crowd started to get a bit noisy because they thought, well, this is done. But yeah, I was a little bit disappointed that we didn't screw them a bit more with 10, 15 minutes to go.
Yeah. And then Andy, you mentioned that there was only 2 minutes left. Like they only put 2 minutes of added time. See with the amount of subs, like it should have been at least 4 minutes, at least.
Yeah, 4 or 5.
Mental.
I think if Celtic was getting beat, the board would be 10 minutes.
Well.
You're right though. That is the thing that most people came away saying, is that if they were chasing the lead, that would have been 4, 5, 6, maybe even 6 minutes.
Aye.
And that's why it feels a bit annoying. But
The number of times they've scored goals, well, to win the league last season was phenomenal in that last.
yeah, you're right. An injury time.
I mean, I don't know what you guys, I mean, obviously it finished 2-1, but I felt good coming out of it, if that's a strange thing to say. I felt okay coming out of it. I thought after the goal went in so quickly, I thought, oh my God, this could be an absolute horror show here. But actually, the way we knocked the ball about really, really well yesterday, I thought just the passing was really on point. I was really, with mentioning Barbrook and obviously Spencer just doing Brad Spencer things and just controlling the game effectively. And he got more of a chance to do that yesterday with Callum McGregor not playing for Celtic as well. But I came out back from going, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I don't know what you guys thought.
You never want to lose, and
No.
you're never happy to lose, right? But I think with the way the game flowed and went yesterday, you're right. Two goals down after 26, 27 minutes, you're thinking, well, we've read this book before, haven't we? We've seen the film before. But we stuck at it, and I, for all intents and purposes, I did think we played quite well. I'm not saying it's the best we'll ever play against Celtic, or it has been the best we ever played, but we defended, barring a couple of lapses. I thought we defended pretty well. Like
Lewis
Lewis
Nielsen, by the way,
Nielsen had
shout
a
to Lewis
great
Nielsen.
game.
I don't think he did much wrong. I mean, there was
No.
an obvious yellow card he picked up, but like I thought Lewis Nielsen was pretty decent.
Lewis Nielsen had a good game. Leon McCann had a good game. So there was positives there. You just think back to that. What if had we kept it tight? I personally think we would have took something for the game yesterday had we kept it tight, because Celtic didn't really trouble that much, and Bain, he was pretty comfortable with the rest of the saves that he had to make.
The problem is we didn't make their keeper work hard enough. The only time
Enough,
that, when Ethan Ross went through, he had that wee mistake and then Ethan Ross went through, and I was screaming for a penalty at that point, but no,
Yeah,
since I was.
Finlay Barbrook had a good chance that went right over the bar as well.
Yeah.
And just, again, you think if that goes in, it's going to be, I think that would have made it 1-1.
Just didn't work.
So,
We just didn't work the keeper though, but we know that's been a problem all season so far. But
take more
yeah.
chances.
hopefully come, you know, Wednesday and then against kind of lesser opposition that we'll start getting it. But again, I thought we were okay. I thought we were okay yesterday. Right, let's see what John had to think, because my opinion doesn't matter. So let's see what John McGlynn had to say after the match.
John, I feel like every time we come here, we get a little bit closer. Slightly disappointed with such a narrow margin of defeat today.
Well, you're right, we're getting closer. I think that's the closest we've come so far, a narrow 2-1 defeat. Yeah, we're always going to be against it, but we've gifted them a goal. You know, it's an absolute gift we've given them. And we can't do that here. You know, you just cannot do that. And unfortunately, we've basically flung the ball in, basically. You know, so early as well, that's the last thing you want. So we have to stick to our task, you know. That gets our tails up, settles the crowd, you know. So we have to just kind of stay in the game. And I thought we played some good football, some really, really good passages of play in the first half. We didn't create an awful lot. You know, we were under the cosh with regards to getting pushed back. It wasn't like Scotty was making the save after save, but don't get me wrong, he did have one or two saves. But they've got good players to spend a lot of money, you know. I mean, I thought the wide right player, Hassan, against Leon was particularly good, because Leon's a very good one-to-one, you know, defender, and it caused us problems in the first half. But the end product, you know, we managed to stop every cross, basically. You know, our defenders defended the box quite well. However, we get caught, we get an offside decision, which you very quickly play the ball, you know, forward, we get done down the side, and then it's a matter of we need to get to the ball in the middle of the goal, and we can't get there, and they do, and we are 2-0 down. But obviously the second half, being 2-0 down, we've been coming here, you know, for, you know, plenty of times over the years, and you're 2-0 down here at half time, it normally ends up 3-4-5, whatever, you know. And so massive credit to the players. We dug in, Celtic can start a little bit, we got a lot of the ball, we grew in confidence, we pressed well, and we managed to get a goal back, and it made it very, very interesting in that last 15 minute period of the game, or approximately 15 minutes, getting that goal back. And you know, it just needed that a little bit more to try and get that other goal, and it didn't just quite materialise. But you know, the last couple of games, Motherwell was an improvement. Today, heading in the right direction against the champions away from home. You know, we're now going to Rangers on Wednesday night, but really proud of the players, what they delivered there, particularly the second half. There's a lot of good signs there that we can work with, and we can build on, and we can get better.
There you go, that's what John had to say. Getting closer. As it's, you know, we are getting closer. I mean, maybe hopefully the next game at Celtic Park, we'll get that point, or we'll take a win. We're due it. I'm always saying we're due one. It's been, like we said at the start, 1994. Pat O'Banton was number one, Andrew, the last time we beat Celtic at, in the league. You remember Pat O'Banton?
No, but that was my first ever Falkirk away game.
Was it really?
Aye.
At Hampden?
No.
Oh, was it at Celtic Park? Was it? Aye. I thought, all right.
Jimmy Gilmore scored.
Oh, right.
You're talking about the John Clark free kick game, and Nicky Henderson and John Clark game.
I was at that game as well.
Aye, there you go. Well, you've seen it actually win at Celtic Park, so that's good. But let's see what the fans are saying. Chris Chalmers kicks off saying, thought we might have looked to test our keeper from range, seeing as he conceded three long rangers the other night. That's a very good point.
It's a fair point, and it is a fair point from Chris, because Celtic had been so fragile against Lask the other night there, and we probably should have worked the keeper a wee bit more. You never know what could have happened. Evan Balfour says, worth mentioning the absolute class and professionalism shown by Scott Bain today. Obviously starts the game with an absolute howler, but the way he responded was phenomenal. Multiple excellent saves and passed it around with complete composure. Chin up, Scott.
Yeah, hopefully he can do enough to get himself in that Scotland squad when it gets announced near the end of the month. Lewis says Parky did himself no favours with his performance today, sadly. With Morel arriving, he could take Parkinson's place on Wednesday. McLeod could be in with a shout of starting too. Nielsen gets grief, but one mistake aside, was decent again today. And at Fir Park, credit where it's due. There you go. I said that. I thought so. I think, does Morel get a shout for Wednesday? I don't know.
I personally would, based on what I saw, but I would all caveat that with I think we need to play McLeod as well.
Okay.
Wee Div says, I thought the new guys looked decent. It was never going to be a day for us creating loads of chances, but I don't think Parkinson is the player that we need for our style of play. Similar to Jordan Allen and that lazy boy we had on loan for a bit last year. In brackets, he says, can't even mind his name. And then someone pointed out to him, Trey Ogunsui.
That'll be the one. Josh says, always go there to expect nothing, so can't complain. Second half, we're very much improved and you boys look good going forward.
Indeed. Logan says, always going to be a tough game, but it's encouraging to see the patterns of play developing with the new signings growing into the team. We'd like to see us have a real go on Wednesday night, get the pace on the pitch from the start, i.e. Conor McLeod, and go for the 3 points.
Yeah, and finally Sam says, all things considered, the fact that it's probably the best result we've had at Celtic Park recently, and we're still integrating new players, so it's quite promising. The three new lads look very solid, and Spencer being back in shows a big improvement to the team. Excited for Rangers now, so there we go. That's the next game. Right, Falkirk Daft rated time. Andrew, let's come to you first. Who is the Falkirk Daft rated player against Celtic?
I've been thinking about this all day at my work. I'm going to go with Finlay Babcock.
Finlay Babcock, yeah.
You're going to Finlay. I'm going to say Brad Spencer, John. I thought he showed.
This why you
he
just try him. To get him to stay by giving the Falkirk Daft rated player.
I don't know if that'll swing it. I don't know if that'll swing it, but I thought he showed why we missed him in the last couple of games. And but I did think him and Finlay had a really good partnership in the middle of the park.
Yeah, I'm going to side with Andrew on this one. I know, apologies, Brad. I hope that doesn't sway you, your decision about going to Dundee United or not. But I'm going to go with Finlay Barbrook. I thought he was excellent yesterday. So Finlay Barbrook is the Falkirk Daft rated player of the game. Falkirk Dafty.
I hate to say it, but I know he more than kind of got his wage the rest of the game, but it's a very stupid error to make very early on, and it probably did cause the result that we got. So I'm going to say Scott Bain.
Scott Bain, can't really argue with it. I'm sure Scott Bain's actually calling himself a daft.
He'll be gutted.
The thing is, afterwards, I think it was Evan went to say it was like he went on showed. It's an absolute high war. So quite good. Yeah. Andrew, you got any contenders other than Scott Bain?
No, there was none really. Just unfortunately, after Scott Bain made the howler, he made four or five good saves. Probably he wears his hat on his sleeve, and he'll. But when a goal, it's funny because when a goalkeeper makes a mistake, it's a big mistake. Where elsewhere, other players on the park can make a mistake and get away with it because there's other boys that could save him.
There was a little bit of sort of full time, John. As always happens, the squad and the management and the coaching staff will come over to the fans, and there'll be a little bit of a thank you each way there. There was a couple of people had said to me, or they thought it was really poor that Scott Bain had walked straight off, essentially. And I probably felt like that at the time as well. But having slept on it and reflected on it, he was probably just wanting to get the hell off that pitch and try and forget the moment in the game. But listen, he put a shift in. He's done far more good for us than he hasn't. So I'm sure he'll follow this up with another Scott Bain typical performance against Rangers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Right, we need to rattle through this because we've got to preview the Rangers game, and we're going to do it in the company of Grado, the wrestler, TV star. He's going to jump on in a minute. But have we got time to do Falkirk Daft versus, do you think, quickly?
I think we squeeze it in, George.
Quickly, go for it. You know the rules. Fire the questions. Let's go.
Right, okay. So, John, you're going to write your answer down. Yeah. Once John's written his down, you'll come at you for your verbal answer, okay? So, guys, right, question number one. Before CJ Fodry, who was the last player to wear the shirt number 99? So, Andy, we'll come to you in a second. But who was the last player to wear shirt number 99? John, let me know when you've got something written down.
Yeah, I've got my thing.
Okay, you've got something written down.
Hold on. I'm going to get my pen out. There we go. No. There we go. There we go. Right, okay, I've got something.
Right, okay. Andy, who are you saying?
I played, remember, back in the Eddie May. Is it Daniel? I can't mind his second name.
Oh, you think it's Daniel Marchetta?
Aye.
Do you know that? That's that name is a blast from the past, but there has been someone more recently. John, are you able to?
Lee Miller.
It was big, sexy Lee Miller, right. Yeah, just a few years ago. He wore the number 99. So it is 1-0 to Folgardaf so far. Question number two. Which current player counts Kilmarnock, Dumbarton, Forfar and Raith Rovers as his previous clubs? So which current player counts Kilmarnock, Dumbarton, Forfar and Raith as previous clubs? So have a think, boys.
Right, okay. Ba, ba, ba. Damn it.
Let us know when you've got something written, John. Yeah, Andy, we will come to you if you've got an answer.
Ethan Ross.
You're saying Ethan Ross. John, who are you saying?
Brad Spencer.
It is Brad Spencer, yes, indeed. The only one I left out was obviously played over in America, so I thought if I say that, it might tip yous to the one way. But it's 2-0, Andy. Come on, son, come on.
Right. This one for the win, Andy.
Andy, you'll get this one. John won't because it's a shirt number question. So, who wears shirt number 27? Who wears shirt number 27? 27. John always gets these wrong, Andy. That has got it wrong.
Something.
Okay, Andy, we'll come to you.
27. It must be one of the new boys.
Right, so who are you saying?
I'm going to go with Conor McLeod.
You're saying Conor McLeod, John?
Ethan Ross.
It's 2-1. It was Conor McLeod, indeed. Oh. Yeah, he's one of the new boys. Yeah. Okay, Andy, you're back in the game. Question number four. How many loan players do we have currently? I don't need you to name them, but how many loan players do we have currently? Now, this is loans that we have brought in, not loans out. Just loans in. So how many loan players do we have currently?
Six.
You're saying six, John Boy?
Three.
You're saying three? These are both wrong. It's currently five. So we have Finlay Barbrook, CJ Fodry, Aidan Docherty, Benjamin Crowhouse, and Conor McLeod.
All right, okay.
Who did you think was the sixth one, Andy?
I can't remember. I was just trying to work out, eh?
Anyway, it's still 2-1. But there's one question to go. So, Andy, you need this to take it to a tie break. John, you just need to get this right to win. Question number five. Who had a higher win percentage as manager? Was it Gary Holt or Peter Houston? So who had a higher win percentage as manager? Is it Gary Holt or Peter Houston? So Andy, you just have a think now while John writes his answer.
I've written my answer.
Okay. Andy, who has a higher win percentage?
I slagged this man in the Shire because me and him had an argument that night and I'm going to go with Gary Holt.
You're going to go Gary Holt?
Like Gary Holt and all.
John, you're going to take the win. It is Gary Holt, yeah. 49% versus Hoosty's 46%.
There you go. Good game, Andrew. Good game. Thanks for playing. Thanks for coming on Falkirk Daft. Been an absolute star as ever. We'll see you at the next game probably.
No problem at all.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
Okay, let's talk Rangers now. We're playing them Wednesday night in the league last season. We did all right against them apart from the last couple of games, but we held them to a draw at the stadium at the start of the season and then obviously held them to a draw at Ibrox as well. And I thought I would call in the big bucks, the big game, and a man who does a podcast, Painting Two Shots. He's on Heart Breakfast. He's about to go down to London to rehearse for the Two Doors Down live show at the Hydro. Scott Squad, wrestler, just comedian extraordinaire, Graham Steveley, a.k.a. Grado, it's yourself.
It's yourself. You forgot.
What did I forget?
9 episodes of
River City. How could you forget, John?
Have you not been doing the press for River City, Grado? It finishes up tomorrow. I thought you might have been, Buster might have been called out for it, no?
Well, I did. So, do you know, you might not remember, but it was always 8 episodes of River City, I said.
Oh, yeah, you did one bonus one, didn't you?
Yes, I did a comeback episode, and it was hilarious, right? Because my scene was basically in the Oyster Cafe, right?
Right.
Now, I was on 8 episodes of River City. I was probably in the Oyster Cafe twice, right? And it's funny, they gave me that total entrance, right, where I walked through the door and they filmed me for, like, the feet up and panned the camera, you know, as if it was like the fucking Big Show coming into the Oyster Cafe, do you know what I mean? I came in and I did my bit, right, and see, when I went to leave the Oyster Cafe, the camera panned in at me at the door, and I just looked at the place and I went, this place has been good to me. And I went, you know, it's as if it was like, fucking, do you know, I'd done about 400 episodes, and I had Bob saying to me, going, what's that all about? Again, this place has been good to me. You've been in it twice.
Brilliant. Aye, and you're off down. Tickets still available for 2 doors down. Let's get the plug in, Grado. Live show, the Hydro.
Because the problem is, I've promised Hoffa Salkett, Stevenson and Russell 3 tickets, so brilliant. I need the first thing I need to do when I get to London tomorrow is give them my guest list for all the tickets. But there is, because a lot of people still think that we sold out after the first week, but we added dates on. There might be people that stop going, oh, I'll never get 2 doors down tickets. And there's still plenty on sale for the second week of the... I think the full first week's kind of sold out, but the second week there's still tickets there. But no, go down to London. I'm down there for 2.5 weeks, so I'll also be doing my radio for Leicester Square, which is that'll be something else as well. I've only done that once before, and people did not, nobody clicked on that I wasn't in the studio, so fingers crossed we can keep that going.
Aye, you'll be getting all the stars down there as well, Christmas.
Oh, mate, you better believe it. Last time I was there, I was up in the roof hunting, trying to get Billy Eilish. I was running into, what do you call him, your man, LBC, him that comes on, James O'Brien.
James O'Brien.
Oh, aye, mate, you better believe it, mate. See when I go down there, it's like Disneyland, I love it.
I love it.
Nick Ferrari, how you doing, my man? Are you ashamed yet? You know, that quick, you know, I love it.
Class. Right, let's talk your football team, Grado. Aye. You watched the game today against Aberdeen?
Mate, I don't want to go over the top, but I think we're back.
Oh my God. Quit that.
Right, so I've been in group chats all day, and actually, do you know what's really annoying me, right? Even the pundits were annoying me today, right? The amount of times, even McFadden said that, boys said it, Sutton said it constantly. Poor quality, what a low quality match. I actually think we've done all right. There's been better teams that went to Pittodrie and have beaten off worse Aberdeen teams, let me tell you. Listen, I'll take a 1-0 at Pittodrie any day of the week. We got it done. I think it was just still a bit of a hangover for getting pumped out of Europe. We've obviously not started the league well, but the day, man, I actually thought to myself, I think we'll be 2-0 done within 14 minutes, but no, we actually held our in all right. And I thought, what'd you call him? Kim, did you see it? Ernie's watching it.
I watched it, yep.
So the new signing that we've got for South Korea, Kim Min-soo?
Yeah, Kim Min-soo, yeah.
Player of the year,
there we go. Kim Min-soo, because it's the other way about. There you go. So he's the one that's really stood out for you. What about the other signings, Grado?
The other signings...
I'm going to ask you about the goalie, because I know you're a former goalie, and you judge the goalies. What are you thinking of the goalie?
Mate, I'm all in on Ivar Pander. I swear to God, I done a lot of... When we were sniffing about him, and there was it was looking like we were going to sign him, I was in all the Hull forums, I was in the Hull YouTube podcasts, and there was one guy that said he's the best goalie ever to come for Hull. And I was excited as hell to see Ivar. And do you know what? I love it because, you know, we've had Butland and McGregor in the past, nae hampering them. But, you know, when it comes to modern day football, you need to have the ball at your feet now.
Yeah.
You need to play like an extra defender. And he's been really good at coming for crosses. He's been really good at passing for the back. There's people online and some of my pals say they're not too sharing him. I think he's great. I think there's a... we've really yet to see him be really tested, but when I say really tested, what I mean that is we've only had a couple of games, so we can't really quite tell. But for early signs for me is I really like him, John. I really, really like him.
And there
I was just going to say, Greg, I watched the game, most of the game today, and I agree with you. I thought he commands his, but I know he had there was like one wee slip up, didn't he, when the ball went out for a corner.
That's
but,
right.
Otherwise, he seems pretty a confident young lad. Whereas with Butland, you always felt that either the defence in front of him wasn't that confident or he wasn't confident of them. Whereas there seems a bit more of a balance this year.
Ross, definitely, because my hair was in my mouth every time Butland had the ball at his feet. And it was the same with Celtic the last couple of years with Schmeichel, and even to an extent Joe Hart was a bit hurting their gub, I think, for Celtic. But I think with Pander, he's I don't know, I just think he's a young, more modernised goalie, which we've no had, and he excites me because and he also cuts his sleeves off his T-shirt. I love all that carry on. Well, I suppose they're all getting that now, but I don't know. John, you're right. I've always loved goalies, and I'm a big fan.
I know. A couple of players in before Wednesday as well. Kevin Kelsey looks like it could be done from the Portland Timbers, $9 million. And I think, Rangers seem to be splashing the cash. Is that filling you with confidence, Grado? Or do you think even at this point, 5 points behind, is an uphill struggle for Rangers?
So I'm so naive because a couple of days ago, John, when I first heard about this guy, I went, here we go, man. He's going to end up a dumpling. And there's so many signings that we end up getting, and compared to Celtic, a lot of their signings just hit the ball running every time, right? But when I first heard about Kelsey, I'm going, he's not what we need. We need a veteran. Do you know what I mean? We need not a Jamie Vardy, but a Jamie Vardy. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Do you get what I mean, though?
I know what you mean.
A Jim Hamilton.
Jim Hamilton, yeah, that's what you need.
Do you know what I mean by that kind of veteran goal scorer? However, now that I've heard Phil Neville talk about him, I'm so naive, I'm like, no, let's get him. Just the way he was going on about him, about how he's so... I don't know, did you hear his interview? No, Phil Neville talked about him. Right? So Neville was talking him up, right? Getting it that he's in at freaking 3 o'clock in the morning training and all his bollocks. He works on so much stuff and he's not a full winner, right? But he's got a lot of ability. Listen, my confidence in the Rangers recruitment team hasn't been the best, but now that Kevin Shaw's been all right, and this Kelsey, to be honest with you, it no really do because we need a striker. What I don't want to happen is, remember last year with Celtic, I was like, God, they need a striker. And then the window closed, and it was like, fuck.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You got Lauren Shank going, though.
I know, man. Shankland's getting a sair time, mate, boys.
I know, he is, isn't he?
Yes, man. He's getting a sair time, mate. But this is what I think about it, right? So, John, I've wanted McInnes and Shankland for years at Rangers, right? So, I mean, for me, the last couple of weeks has been absolutely hellish, man. I'm not joking, right? Because this wasn't in the script.
Aye.
No. You know what I mean? This wasn't in the script.
What's the feeling with the fans then? Are they turned? Is this result? See, if you hadn't got 3 points today, do you think he would have been at risk?
Aye, man, she was getting see for the kind of. Do you remember when when Sue was getting Gassama fucking bombed for the Marienhof, then he passed it to Kim, and then he kind of he taken a shot, and Shankland just never made it in time. Well, yeah. Honest to God, the group chats, Twitter forums, we're all going after him. Not, I'm going, calm down, right? Here's the deal, man. He scored a penalty. That doesn't matter, man. We need somebody to put, as McInnes says, you're up taking a penalty against up at that Aberdeen end. He takes a lot of balls, man, especially with the pressure that he's under. The way I see it is keep playing him, see all this. For me, Nadiri's just no good at it. I just think he runs about like a headless chicken. He's just, to be fair, he did well. I think he did well when he came on the day in terms of digging in and preventing the ball going to Aberdeen. However, I think you've got to keep playing Shankland. You've got to keep playing them. There's no point with players like this if you put them in the bench. That's just not how it works. You just need to keep going with them, just and eventually, hopefully, it will come. Remember, this happened with him at Hearts as well. a couple of seasons ago. Remember that? And it was like, get him out and fucking... Yeah. I can remember it at the start of the season a couple of years ago, and it's just come out of my head. I remember when I was going to film Scotland's Greatest Escapes, still available on BBC iPlayer. I remember being in Haddington, and there was a guy going, oh, he's shite, he's fucking rotten. He was a Hearts fan. And I'm going, you're joking, no? Because I believe, see, Shanklin, we should have signed him when he was at Air United. I remember at the time I'm going, like, why does Gerrard not just sign him? And if he doesn't play him, that's fine. You can maybe loan him out, but just at least have him. Because he'll score goals. He will. I know that he's overweight and all that. Shark away. There's nothing wrong with him. Nothing wrong with having a bit of dab if you're a striker. Going, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Listen, Wednesday, play Falkirk at Falkirk Stadium. You'll be down. You'll probably find a pub in London to watch it in grade, I suspect. What are you thinking about the match?
Right. I was thinking about this, right? And I don't like... Oh, this could come back to bite me in the arse, right? But see, for us, I think this is a decent game for us to come. And my reasons are... I think the Rangers players this season, at least until they get their act together completely, I think away games are going to be more beneficial to us in terms of they don't have that massive 50,000 on their back. If they make a stray pass within 5 minutes, the groans start happening. I think the away team is a lot more supportive. So an away game on a Wednesday night... And for what I heard, by the way, my father watched the Celtic and Falkirk game. My father watches every FIFA game. Every
he's still
game.
Got a season ticket at Blackpool.
No, do you know what? He gave that up to go to Newcastle. No, he had the Blackpool season ticket, then he had the Preston season ticket.
Yeah.
Then he went to Newcastle, right? He had a Newcastle season ticket, and then as soon as the big owners come in, he went, nah, no having that. He need to get rid of his Newcastle season ticket. Then he was at Burnley. And I'm like, because the first one I was like, Dad, what are you doing that for? When this is the prime time to have a Newcastle season ticket. Nah. Then he had a Burnley season ticket this season. Have a guess where he is this season?
Who's he? A Bolton.
He's been there, but never season ticket.
It's a
Scottish Championship team.
Stenismere.
No.
Ear
United.
Aye.
Oh, of course, aye. Yeah.
Of course. Well, there you go. Your dad anyway, gets a bit.
But he was saying that Falkirk played really well yesterday.
Aye, we did, aye.
Aye, you see, obviously Falkirk played really well. So, I don't know, man. I just... you can't really... That end of the season... See, the reason why we particularly well the end of the last season's... The last game of the season... There's no pressure on Rangers, but that's when Rangers play better when they have no pressure. But what are you thinking about it? What do you think?
Grado, see that last game though, like John and I obviously talked about it at the time. I think Falkirk, we'd obviously secured top six 4 or 5 weeks prior. Right. We knew we weren't going to really get any higher than that. And I don't want to do the boys a disservice saying they were like their minds were on the beach type thing. But I think both teams were kind of. They were kind of going through the motions that day. And Rangers, listen, Rangers should, in a normal day, well, Rangers will beat Falkirk, right? So if they play to their ability, they'll beat Falkirk. John and I, we've obviously just talked about the Celtic game. We put a really hard shift in yesterday, didn't take any points. But I think Wednesday we do have more of a chance. Obviously, we're at home, as you've said. There's not like 50, 60,000 Rangers or Celtic fans there. I'm quite glad yous have won today, and I'll tell you why. I think had yous lost today, I think the pressure and expectation on Rangers coming to Falkirk would have been massive. And it's not to say that's not still there, because it's still Rangers. Mm-hmm. But I think you've got the monkey off the back with the win. And I think Falkirk can learn a lot of lessons today from watching Aberdeen. Aberdeen did actually press Rangers quite well at points. They just didn't defend well because, well, it's Aberdeen. But I think I think if Falkirk can have that intensity but keep it tight at the back, then we can potentially take something.
Well, I think you're right as well, because at the end of the day, I don't think teams in the SPFL really fear Rangers. This anymore. It's no. I think a game like Rangers, a lot of the Falkirk players will be right up for it. believing that they can take points off Rangers. It's not the Rangers. Until we really get our act together, I think that likes of Falkirk could be sitting the day going, fuck it, come on, bring them on, bring them on. Yeah. So I definitely think you would get a good point. But Rangers need to win. They need to win to get people off McInnes's back. So it's going to be an interesting one. It's going to be an interesting one. As I say, I'm being honest, I'm glad it's an away game because of the crowd, but there is potential there for us to just go. It could be one of the things where, looking in a couple of months' time and this is all, ripped apart and there's a new manager. Remember, we only played a half decent game at fucking Pittodrie, do you know what I mean? What's that?
Score prediction.
5-1 Rangers.
Brilliant.
So he's just said it's going to be tight. I'd hate to see if it was going to be a skish.
Ross, what are you thinking?
I'm not going to say 5-1.
Go.
I think we will pick up our first win, but I think it'll be tight. I'm going to say 2-1 Falkirk.
I'm going to say 1-0 Falkirk, but of course I would.
This is good. Right, do you know what? When do you record again?
Recording probably... It'll be next Sunday.
Right. Let's next Sunday when I'm in London. Let's stay the light. Let's get me back on. Right, we'll talk about it.
Like it.
John and I could just come down to London and we'll just do it there.
Let's do that date from my hotel room. Why not?
Why not? Listen, he's the hardest working man in showbiz. He's Stevenson Dream. I told in the last podcast the story of the moment we all found out Dolly Parton died. We're talking about Jeff. We did a show with Jeff Jarrett on Tuesday there, if you missed the last show, and I was saying, he came and said, it's a sad day for newsboys, and you were like, who's dead? While Chris Toll was dressed up as a miniature version of Jeff Jarrett, Mark Dallas dressed as the Road Dog, and I've got a picture, and must send it to Greedy, of the moment that Jeff sat down in the chair and everyone's trying to console him, and then Mark's just slowly realises he's dressed up as a Road Dog and slipping the wig off to hold down as he realises Jeff Jarrett knew Dolly Parton really well. Sorry for your loss. They're all dressed up as the Road Dog.
Hey, you know what's funny about it, or not? Toll look like Dolly Parton.
Toll looks like Dolly Parton as well.
Can I just check? Have we got a picture of Toll dressed as Dolly?
Yes, we do.
Yes, you need to get that up. You need to get that up. Honestly,
we need to put that on the podcast, Ed.
Because
we've had Toll on this podcast a couple of times when we've been previewing Celtic games. We've had Purden on when previewing Rangers, and hopefully you've got 5 minutes for the quiz, John, as well.
No, we've not got time.
Is it not got time for the quiz?
If you got it quickly, hurry up. Come on, I want to do it.
You want to do it? All right, okay. How well do you know your team? We've got the questions in front of you. You've got 60 seconds on the clock, Grado. I think you'll know the shtick. Pass if you don't know the answer. We'll come back if you don't have time. You ready?
Right, let's go.
Your time starts now. What year were Rangers founded?
1872.
What is the capacity of Ibrox to the nearest 100?
52,000.
What year did Murray Park open?
2001.
Who has more Scotland caps for a Rangers player?
Who has most caps
as a Rangers player?
John Gregg.
Who wears shirt number 14 for Rangers currently?
Burnley Curtis, maybe.
Which player recently moved on loan to St Mirren from Rangers?
Oh, shit. Pass.
Which ex-Falkirk manager is on the coaching staff at Rangers currently?
Archibald.
Who was Rangers manager prior to Philippe Clement?
Yeah, it was Vanna Van Rockhurst.
How many permanent Rangers managers have there been?
6. Oh, no! 21.
Right, who was Rangers captain before James Tavernier?
Oh, fuck.
Time's up.
Ian Black.
Oh. Right.
I kept a close eye on that, John. There was a couple of close ones.
Starty flew off the start. So, 1872, correct. We dissected 2012, of course, as well, Grado.
Fuck you.
Capacity Ibrox, I said nearest. Do you know what? I'm going to give him 52.
Give him that one.
51,700. Yeah. We'll give him
that
one. Murray Park 2001 got it nailed on. It's your pal Ali McCoist that's the most Scotland caps for as a Rangers player.
Wow, there you go. I wonder where John Gregg is in that. I hope I've not embarrassed myself with that answer.
No, that's 61 caps he got as a Rangers player for Scotland. There you go. 14 at Rangers currently Cammy Devlin. Paul Nzeo is currently on at St Mirren. He was at Raith Rovers last season. Paul Sheeran. He was the first manager. We don't
want
to remember it.
I was like Archibald, wasn't it, Falkirk? Wouldn't you know?
No.
Archibald was? Do you know where Archibald started?
What? The Buffs. Of course,
was he? Yeah. And I always remember as a wee boy, he was so. He must have used the sunbeds every day.
Amazing. Michael Beale was before Clement.
Bastard.
Yeah. 22 permanent Rangers managers, 22. You were one of them.
And it was, do you know what? I was going to say 22.
I know, it was Lee Wallace.
The grass.
It was Lee Wallace, the grass, who was the captain before James Tavernier.
You've offended me twice in 60 seconds now with 2012 and the Lee Wallace comments. See you next week. Stick up your fucking arse.
3 out of 10. Credo, thanks for coming on Falkirk Daft.
Oh my God, that's shite. Right, okay, I'll see you later, boys. We'll see you next week, right?
Thank you so much.
All the best trip. Bye-bye.
And there we have it—the whirlwind that is Graeme Stevely, aka Grado.
Can you text him and get us to add our two names to the guest list?
I'll mention him. He's a bloody nightmare. Grado is like I've known Grado for years and years, and we've done various podcasts, football podcasts, wrestling podcasts. I was at his wedding. He's some boy. That's what I'm saying. You can tell by just the whirlwind nature of Grado and the chaos that's around him. Love him to bits. Absolutely love him to bits. So thanks for giving up his time to come on Falkirk.
And he's going
to
come back on.
He says that, Ross. Mm. He says that. We'll wait and see.
Will it depend on if Rangers win, maybe, as well?
Well, there'll be a bit of that. And he's the busiest, like I say, he's the busiest man that I know in terms of what he does. I don't know how he manages his calendar. I don't know how his wife, Stephanie, puts up with him, to be honest with you. It's incredible stuff, but he's a top, top lad. Love Grado to bits. Listen, we're just about to wrap a bow on this week's episode. We'll be back with a preview episode, of course, on Thursday, looking ahead to Dundee United. But that's now sponsored by Scotia as well. So they'll be on with the preview episode looking towards Dundee United. But yeah, before we go, we've got to say thanks to another one of our sponsors. It is Falkirk Football Fans in Training. They are currently got your game down there on Wednesday, 8 o'clock till about 9:30 on the community pitch. They've got 3 games available. Youngsters to late early, which is the late 20s to early 30s, the over 40s, 50s, which is the academy section. And the more fun style, which is with the legends, for the kind of older players as well. It's a great way to help your mental health. It's great to keep yourself fit and make new friends as well. So it's really, really good. And of course, we're still rubbing it into the fact that we beat them 7-2 in the charity game last week. So we've got 3,000. We were, again, I'll repeat, we just made £3,000 from Maggie's Fourth Valley. We're going to be presenting the cheque this week as well to the guys down there. So great. A load of money raised, and it's thanks to the boys at the FFIT, TH, and to all the Falkirk Daft listeners that got involved in the game as well. So thank you so much for that. It's a great amount to raise. But yeah, if you want to get involved in the game, Wednesday, 8 o'clock, down at the community pitch, speak to Doogie or Ian or any of the current players. Hamish White's looking after the youngsters, and the youngsters being late 20s to early 30s. We're like now in the academy section, Ross, which is really depressing, but there you go. But yes, that's it for Falkirk Daft. Onwards to Rangers now, Ross. I fancy us as well. I think we're going to quick.
We've got
Dundee United away, and then Hearts, and then St Johnstone, and then we're into the international break again. So yeah. We need to start getting some points on the board. So hopefully we can start.
See this versus this time last year, though, John. I was having a look at the fixture. So we did, by the end of the third game, we had 4 points. So we'd drawn with Dundee United. We had beat off Livy, beg your pardon, and then we went up to Pittodrie and won at 1-0. So we're sitting on 4 points. When you then look at the next few games, we after Aberdeen, we didn't win again until October. So there is loads of scope to remember we beat Motherwell mid-October last year. So there's loads of scope to still do as well as we did last year. It's just we're 16, nearly 17 new players probably by the time this goes out. It's just taking a bit of time. It's
What position do you think he's looking at for that 17 player?
I don't know, because it
I
feels
don't know
like
either,
we have
I think
plenty.
You've got Fod because we got Fodry McLeodin, so we've got two wingers now, and you've got Doherty obviously, and Ethan Ross is your other two.
I didn't mention this earlier on. I heard a rumor yesterday, and it might be complete bollocks, but I heard a rumor that Louis Marsh might be coming back.
Playing for Sheffield United at the weekend though? I know it's Ben Brosio just signed for Stevenage, because that would have been the other name it would have been kicking about.
Brosio's just signed for Stevenage, but no, Louis Marsh obviously played for Sheffield United's under-23s or 21s, whatever it was. So, but I heard that rumour yesterday. It could be complete bollocks, but that was, and so if that's the case, then that's he's a 10, isn't he? So,
yeah. Well, there you go. Well, hopefully that'd be interesting. But then how many 10s do you need? You've got Ben Crowhouse, you've got Joe Gardner, you've got all these other players that could play the 10s, and then we've got our three strikers now as well. So it's there's a lot going on. And then hopefully next time we speak, Brad Spencer is still a Falkirk player. That's the big hope this week. If we can get through the transfer window and Brad Spencer's still wearing the navy blue, that's the big hope, I have to say. We'll wait and see. But anyway, thanks very much for watching. Thanks very much for listening. Get us on our socials and for that competition to win that brilliant Falkirk print. We'll be doing that on our Twitter and Facebook. And then you can also get us on Instagram as well. And remember, sign up to the Patreon, patreon.com/FalkirkDaft. You'll get bonus podcasts there and also all our Ross becoming an influencer. You will watch that journey very closely as the season goes. So very much looking forward to that. But thanks very much for watching, and we'll see you on the next one. But until that time,
expect unexpected. I'm on the bench.
We're Falkirk Daft. Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Daft. Listen in the pub, or you can listen in the bath. We're Falkirk Daft. For everyone who's kidding about being a Falkirk bear, We're Falkirk Daft. We are Falkirk Daft.